Hello, and congratulations. You've just discovered School Sucks Podcast. I am the host of the show, Brett Vinat, and before you get started, I just want to warn you. I should say it like this. It's December of 2011, and you'll probably agree that I sound pretty good right now. But when I started this show in August of 2009, I did not sound so good. I really didn't know what I was doing at all. And it took me about 20 episodes to get the hang of it as far as audio quality is concerned. And, you know, I got a new microphone, I got some new equipment, and the show gradually improves and continuously gets better from there. It's not great around episode 20, but it's tolerable. So if you're a real, you know, audio quality snob, and you should be, you should demand good audio quality from your podcast. I say, you know, go to episode 30, go to episode 40, scroll through those shows, see what you like, start there, why not? Start from the end and go backwards if you want. But I just want to let you know, I think that too many people might listen to the first few shows and give up. They just say, man, I can't listen to somebody who sounds like they're talking through a paper towel roll. This is insulting that he would even expect me to listen to this. Now, someday if I can go back and re-record those shows, I certainly will, but for right now, this warning is going to have to do. But sincerely, thank you for giving this podcast a try. I really hope that you find it helpful. You probably won't hear me mention this for a while if you start from the beginning, but we do have a website called schoolsucksproject.com, and we have a pretty good following on Facebook. Just search Facebook for School Sucks Podcast. Find us there, get involved there, and contact me there. If you have any questions or thoughts or outrage about what you hear on the show, I look forward to it. All right, here is the very first, very shitty sounding episode of School Sucks Podcast. Thank you for listening and take care.
Imagine a door to complete freedom, to abounding opportunity, and to greater personal happiness and satisfaction. Public education, that 12-year process of schooling that we are all forced to go through, is the lock on that door. This is a show and a project about finding the key.
Put me in a special school, 'cause I am such a fool, and I don't need a single book to teach me how to read. Who needs stupid books? They are for petty crooks. And I will learn by studying the lessons in my dreams. So turn off the TV, 'cause that's what I'll see.
Hey there, and welcome to the Introduction to School Sucks Podcast, a show about the end of public education. First of all, in this quick installment, who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? Well, perhaps the best place to begin is with an explanation of the show's title, School Sucks, and the show's subtitle, The End of Public Education. The first part, School Sucks, is probably the most common adolescent phrase that I've heard to describe feelings about public education. It was actually inspired by an online student petition entitled, School Sucks Ass. I think it had like 3,000 or 4,000 signatures. And it's really so common. If you enter the phrase school sucks into a search on Google or YouTube or Facebook, I think you'd be surprised with how many things get returned to you. But it's far more powerful than just a synopsis of the feelings about a public education that young people have. But hold that thought for a minute. Now, the show's subtitle, The End of Public Education, carries two meanings. First, end refers to a goal, as in the means to an end. We'll explore the true intentions behind the public education system, which unfortunately for all of those who participated in it, had very little to do with real education. Sorry. There's substantial evidence that the system's failure to provide real education is no accident. And the second meaning that we can apply to that subtitle is the end. It's over, irrelevant, useless. It needs to be done away with. Does way more harm than good. It actually does no real significant good, especially when you compare any benefits to the damages and the costs. Now, even if you're a student, when you hear a statement like that, even if you're not totally thrilled with your school experience, you might say, wow, that's pretty bold. Do you want to get rid of the public education system? And a lot of questions might come up, and that's good. I'm not a classroom teacher anymore, so now I actually encourage people to question me. But before we go any further, I think it's worth pointing out that the public education system that we all experience in America actually has its roots in another education system that was conceived over 150 years ago in the militaristic and oppressive Prussian Empire in Europe. It was transplanted from Prussia to America in the middle of the 19th century, virtually unchanged. The goal of the system in Prussia was to take individual minds and mold them into compliant workers and citizens and obedient foot soldiers who would follow directions and worship authority. Of course, the system also was designed to provide training for America's huge manufacturing economy during the Industrial Revolution. Now, most jobs in America at that time required people to sit for 8 hours at an assembly line and perform simple tasks. So basically, they just sat in one place unless they needed to move to a different place for a different job function, and they followed simple directions. So school was designed to replicate this factory experience. Originally, children were forced to sit still in desks and do simple tasks, and really, more importantly, not to question the tasks, not to say, why do we need to do this, just do it. And of course, they were also trained to follow the directions of some kind of a authority figure, again, without question. So school essentially prepared children, creative individuals, to be factory laborers, assembly line workers. Not to be individuals, but to be pieces in a large machine, because those were the needs of the American economy at the second half of the 19th century. But because America isn't really based on manufacturing anymore, there aren't a lot of assembly line jobs here in the 21st century, I'm sure that school has just been completely revolutionized, and it's nothing like it was in the late 1800s, when students sat in desks all day, performed simple tasks, and followed the directions of an authority figure. Right? Well, that brings us back to that thought that I asked you to hold then, doesn't it? About that phrase, school sucks. Now, this might seem like a somewhat thoughtless and bitter slogan, but it's actually quite clever. The more I thought about the phrase, school sucks, the more I realized that it was probably the most accurate and astute summary of the public education system that I had ever heard. Here's why. The 12-year process of American public education, or public education anywhere, has a dramatic effect on the mind of a child. When we first enter school at age 5 or 6, many of our best personal attributes are already firmly in place. We are curious, innovative, unique, creative, and hopeful in ways that many people are rarely able to replicate throughout the rest of their lives. But over time, school sucks those natural gifts out of too many people and replaces them with predictability, obedience, and apathy. But the sucking is not done yet. The public school system sucks off the productive capacity of hardworking people. The system is coercively funded through taxation. In other words, whether public education succeeds or fails, and spoiler alert, it fails, at providing real education to the public, the cost goes up every year. There are no refunds if somebody doesn't feel like they got a good education. The money is gone. And I hope all this explains why the phrase school sucks is not just an angry statement, or even a clever statement about the experience of public education in America. It's actually the perfect statement. Now, surely there's somebody who's listening, who's saying, well, if what you've said so far is true, it sounds like this system could use a little reform. Well, slow down. Like I said, my goal is to get rid of the public education system, to end it. This is not a show about public school reform. There's nothing that would be more boring. If it was about public school reform, I should call it School Sucks Podcast Sucks Ass, because it would. It would be awful. It would be unbearable. That's not what we're doing here. Instead of talking about reform, I would invite you to picture the public education system as a large tree. And each leaf on that tree represents one of the pressing issues that people are always talking about when discussing school reform. Class sizes, vouchers, standardized testing, No Child Left Behind, whatever. Now, throughout the history of public education, reformers have approached this steadily growing and rapidly rotting tree, if it wasn't rotten to begin with little hedge clippers. You just need a snip here and a prune there, and everything will be fine. Well, this podcast calls for the chainsaw. I just want to be super duper clear about that. And at this point, maybe there's some other people who are listening and saying, all right, who is this guy, and how can I report him to the NSA? Well, my name is Brett Venott, Brettveinotte. I'm 32 years old, I live in New Hampshire, and I have worked in education for the better part of the last 10 years. My personal ambition? To get children out of government school. Now, this might sound silly to some of you. And it might sound even sillier when I tell you that there is just one tool that I am willing to use in pursuit of this goal. Persuasion. You see, a lot of times when people are interested in bringing about some kind of large-scale change, they have been trained to think they're using a tool to accomplish that change, but they're actually using a weapon. And as you'll see, I'm not in to using weapons on innocent people to get my way. If this is unclear, I promise that within the next few episodes, it will make perfect sense. A bulk of the 10 years that I spent in education were as a classroom teacher. I taught history, among other things, at two small private schools in Vermont. At about the same time, I also attended graduate school in Massachusetts, pursuing a master's degree in educational leadership, along with a certification, that little piece of paper you need to go into public school and be considered a teacher. In the first semester of the school year, in I think 2004, I started to stumble across some uncomfortable information about the history of the public education system. Well, I think I was actually doing a research project related to grad school. The work of people like John Holt, Jonathan Taylor Gatto, and Jonathan Kozel was too powerful to ignore. And this is all stuff that we'll talk about as the show goes on. But I found myself questioning what I was doing and asking the more important question, could I even continue? And I found out eventually that I could not. I withdrew. I left both programs. I actually left the graduate program right in the middle of a class during a break. And just to be completely honest, this was a very difficult time in my life. I mean, my everything that I was doing personally, professionally, I was putting a lot of money into going to school. Everything was around working towards this goal of becoming a public school history teacher. And then, because I was also interested in making a little bit of money in my life, I wanted to get this master's degree in administration so I could go on to be a principal. They make like six figures. Because, you know, like sitting behind a desk all day and intimidating kids while making sure that all of the school's arbitrary paperwork is filled out correctly is, someone who does that totally deserves the same salary as like a software developer or a mechanical engineer. So anyway, after a lot of thought and some, frankly, some difficult times personally, I walked away from that. I could not go through with it. And I convinced myself at, I think I was 25 at the time, 24, 25, that I could find ways to work in education that were geared more towards alternatives or solutions to the problem of public education, that was a much better thing to do with my life than to participate in the problem. So for the last 3 years, I've worked pretty much as a private tutor and educational consultant. And in this time, I've done a bunch of different things. I've worked on kids in a bunch of different areas with a bunch of different goals. But one of the most important things that I feel like I've been involved in is helping kids with problems of motivation. Really to help students find value in their education for themselves, right? This is not motivation about, let's get a B in chemistry. This is about getting something personal out of education, even if it has to go on in this stupid shithole called public school, right? So public education is all about extrinsic motivation. You know, it starts with, oh, you did good, here's a cookie. Oh, nice work, here's a sticker. Very well done, check plus. Oh, you get an A on your report card. Here's a piece of paper that said you could sit still and follow directions for 12 years. It's your ticket to another institution where you'll sit and follow directions for 4 more years. There's nothing learner-driven. There's nothing intrinsic about any of that. So one of the things that I always wanted to do was to help students find some intrinsic motivation. I can't find it for them, but to help them find it. Like I said, to get some value in what they're doing for themselves. And, you know, before I go any further, I just want to be clear about one other thing. I am technically not like a whistleblower. As an educator, I've been very lucky. I have managed to completely avoid teaching in public school. But, you know, I was trained to teach with public school teachers. I've done student teaching in public high schools. And certainly private schools are not much better. Private schools have a lot of state control and regulation as well. And in the last 3 years working as a private tutor, I've been in and out of public schools for meetings. I've talked to teachers, and I have a pretty good sense of what's going on there. So even though I'm not coming to you directly from inside the public school system as, like I said, a whistleblower, I feel very comfortable in what I know about public education. Like I said, I almost wound up there, right? But I had to change course when I really became aware of what I was getting into. I told myself at the time that I could find other ways to teach, other ways to have that positive impact on the lives of other people. And I sincerely hope that this show will be one of them. And if I can leave you with just one thought today in this introductory episode, it would be this. 5 or 6 years ago, when I came to these realizations that forced me to make this pretty important, at the time, life decision about my career path, that forced me to depart from what was, at the time, a very, very comfortable and well-thought-out plan. All of those things that helped me make that decision, or that were powerful enough to get me out of what I was doing, As I moved forward in a different direction, I realized that all of that stuff that was so powerful barely scratched the surface of the true immorality and destructiveness of government education. Now, digging down and identifying what school does to people is very important, but above all, this is a show about the pursuit of solutions to that problem. Thanks for listening, and take care. I'm a troublemaker, never been a faker, doing things my own way, never giving up. I'm a troublemaker, not a double taker. I don't have the patience to keep it on the up. I picked up.
I'm gonna play some heavy metal.